Good afternoon. This is Dr. Michael Cameron. I am the Chief Scientific Officer for OB-GOBI. And with me today is Christopher Plant, who's the Vice President of Business Solutions for Central Reach. Welcome to the webinar on Are You Audit Ready? Presented today. And Chris and I are very happy to be here discussing what we consider to be a very important topic. Now, with respect to beginning this conversation, one of the things that we would like to clarify is exactly why you may be audited to begin with. And the first point we would like to make is that for many insurance companies, and many of you currently are now working for insurance companies, it may be just a standard practice for the insurance company to do randomized audits. So if you're working for TRICARE, for example, if you're working for Magellan, or Cigna Insurance, it's customary for those insurance companies to randomly audit organizations and to do a quality assurance and quality control check with respect to billing practices and also with respect to clinical standards as well. So if you have received an audit notification, and many of you in the audience certainly have, it could have been just as a result of a standard audit schedule that has been created by the insurance company that you're billing on a routine basis. Now, having said that, there are events that may trip an audit for an insurance company, and that could be as a result of irregularities in billing. So, by way of example, if an insurance company has seen that a board-certified behavioral analyst has been billing on average maybe 40 hours per month or 50 hours per month, and then suddenly the billing jumps to 120 hours per month, 130 hours per month, they may make an initial inquiry to determine whether the person's status has changed, for example, from part-time employment to full-time employment. However, they don't receive a satisfactory answer to that, and they want to inquire further in terms of why those billable hours had increased. Perhaps it was the case that the board-certified behavior analyst was actually maintaining their status as a full-time employee, and their status hasn't changed. The insurance company, of course, would be curious as to why the billable hours had escalated and accelerated so rapidly over the course of a month, for example. So irregularities in billing may certainly trip an audit for an insurance company as well. So that could warrant a letter to you indicating that that your cases will be audited. And when I say cases, they typically will focus on maybe a handful of cases or some proportion of your total population. Another reason why an audit may occur is because of a member complaint. So by way of example, a parent may have called or somebody else that you're providing services may have called the insurance company to indicate that they are paying a copay for services. However, on the particular day when the copay had been billed to them, that the board-certified behavior analyst or the direct service provider was not at the home or in the house. So an insurance company may receive a complaint from one of the individuals that you're serving and somebody that is in their member network, and that would warrant their follow-through with respect to an audit of your cases. Another example would be a HIPAA violation. So if a member had complained and expressed concerns about the protection of confidentiality and records, for example, that may trip an audit from an insurance company as well. The final reason that we have covered here is that an audit may be tripped as a result of substandard clinical protocols and clinical standards. So it may be the case that the board-certified behavioral analysts are not following through with the assessments that are required by the insurance company, are not following through with submitting progress notes, for example, in line with the standards that the insurance company had set forth, and that could be a reason for an audit as well. So in summary, essentially four reasons that we see right across the country in consulting to various organizations. Four reasons here why you may be audited. First, it's just your turn. You may be on a regular audit schedule and the recipient of a letter or notification from the insurance company as a result of them wanting to do a review of your cases, or irregularities in billing, member complaints, or lack of clinical standards that may occur.
Have very specific requirements in terms of assessment, as they should. Many will dictate the kinds of assessments that they want to see, whether that be a VB map or whether it be a Vineland, whether it be the ADOS, for example. They will specify right within their contractual agreement with you what they're requiring and what they're looking for from an assessment standpoint. Now, if you begin developing goals and objectives and you begin working on a client's case and you begin submitting reports for reauthorizations and there's no verification of progress, or there's no verification of assessment, or there's no verification of data collection, then those kinds of activities as well can trip the audit process because the insurance company may be justifiably concerned that you're practicing without the guidance of assessment and without the guidance of database decision making. So those are the kinds of activities that can occur. So once again, it may be an automatic process. That's why you're audited. It could be irregularities in terms of your own billing patterns. It could be a member complaint or substandard clinical practices that you may be perceived to be engaging in. Whether that's accurate or not would be determined ultimately. Chris, if you could just advance to the next slide, that'd be terrific. This next piece is something that I think is critically important, and I'll just connect it to a case study for you. I do consulting right across the United States, and there's one Midwest company that I've been providing consultation to, and it's a small company. They're only serving maybe 80 clients in total, so it's rather small. And they received a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield indicating that they would be undergoing an audit. So it falls, the reason for the audit falls into the very first category. There was an automaticity to the auditing process. So it wasn't any event that had occurred. It wasn't any of those other items that I just got done reviewing. However, the immediate response from the individuals that received this letter was one of panic. And the reason for that is because the letter outlined exactly what the auditing process would involve and what Blue Cross Blue Shield would be looking for when they came out. And they had selected 15 clients that this group was serving. And for those 15 clients, they wanted their program books, they wanted their data collection systems, they wanted their daily clinical notes, their daily session notes to be produced. They wanted to see the signatures on the notes, verifying that an individual therapist, for example, a direct service provider, had actually been to the home or actually been to the clinic that they were indicating that they were working out of. So it was a pretty sizable amount of information that the insurance company was looking for. And this is a company that is really streamlined with respect to their administrative support and their clinical support as well. So now, as a result of this audit letter that they're sitting there with in their hand from Blue Cross Blue Shield, they realize suddenly that first, it's time sensitive because they were given 3 weeks to produce all this documentation, and the next piece was that it was going to really require a considerable amount of effort and time in order to fulfill the obligations and the requirements that were being imposed on them. So it became one of resource intensity that they were not prepared for, and as a result, it really did create a tremendous amount of stress in this particular office, and all as a result of receiving that Blue Cross Blue Shield letter indicating an audit on a Friday afternoon, and they had 3 weeks to respond and produce all the information that the insurance company was looking for. Now, another implication is that the audit that occurs just may be a paper audit, whereby you submit all of this information to the insurance company, and somebody sitting in an office someplace in the United States has all this information that you have submitted gathered up on their desk, and they are reviewing it piece by piece. Or alternatively, some insurance companies will appoint a small committee, an audit committee, so that small committee will actually review the materials that that you've submitted. And it'll be your requirement at that point to wait for them to respond to you. So you don't know the outcome of that audit until that committee has completed their work or that individual has completed their work. And unlike their requirement, which was for you to produce information within 3 weeks, you may not always get a time parameter from them in terms of when they'll complete the auditing process. So one company that I worked with waited 4 months for audit results. So quite a long time. And it was a lot of effort and a lot of information that needed to be delivered and a long time to wait to actually get the audit findings. So in one set of circumstances, the audit could actually just involve a paper review. As I mentioned, it could be a small committee or it could be an individual that's responsible for conducting the audit. Or the insurance company may send a representative out to your facility and your organization. This is high in probability if they think there's been HIPAA violations, for example. They will want to lay eyes on your security systems and want a demonstration of those systems to make sure that health protection, health information is being protected. And that may require an on-site visit from an insurance company as well. Another implication, and I see this right across the country as well, is that as a result of an audit or anything that the insurance company may pick up or a regional center, once again, in California may pick up, one of the clear implications is that there can be an impact on your referrals as a result. And this would occur for logical reasons. If an insurance company feels like there's ambiguity around your billing practices or if there's any suspicion whatsoever regarding billing practices, then of course, as you imagine, that will have implications in terms of referrals. They may not be so keen to work with you as a result of that pattern that it's occurred. Or if you're working for a regional center, for those people that are on the call here from California, then the regional center would be impacted, and it will certainly impact and influence their decision to make referrals to you as a clinician or to your organization as well. So these are some of the implications so far. Time, resources devoted to something that you did not see coming, and it shows up on your desk on a Friday afternoon. It's time sensitive. Your latency to response has to be short. You've got to get the information in pretty quickly. There could be an on-site visit that you need to prepare for. It can have an impact on your referrals, and that certainly impacts us as clinicians, clinicians that are running or part of organizations. And then a couple of other implications I want to point out is that if there are detected irregularities, if there is confirmation, for example, that your billing practices were not accurate, then there can be what's referred to as a clawback or a request for the funds. That's not a request. It's a demand for return of funds. And I have seen this as well occur, where an insurance company, for example, has detected that there was $10,000 or $20,000 of billing that had occurred. There was no proper verification that it was accurate. Even though the company and the organization and the clinicians, insisted that it was honest, the insurance company didn't see it that way, and demanded the money back. So $10,000, $20,000. That's what's referred to as a clawback from an insurance company. So that could be another implication of an audit. If there's irregularities and you're not able to verify your billing practices and verify that you're submitting clean claims, for example, the implication can be the clawback and ultimately fines as a result of that kind of activity that may occur. So those are some of the implications for you. So all of this leads to what we like to refer to as audit readiness, because it's my philosophy and Chris's philosophy that because it's not a question about if you get audited, it's a question of when you get audited. You want to have the highest level of preparedness that's possible. It's what we refer to as audit readiness. And something that Chris and I do with companies across the United States is to get them prepared for audits. Because if one occurs, you want to be able to do that, go through the process with a fluency, with the least amount of stress that is possible, and with the least amount of disruption to your own clinical operations, and you want to do that rather comfortably. And it is all possible to do it. Some companies across the United States have quality assurance and quality control individuals appointed. I would tell you that the lion's share of us on the phone do not have those systems as part of our organization. So it really is up to us to manage the preparation for audits. And one of the things that Chris and I will do is today is talk a little bit about how to do that. So Chris, in a moment, will talk about the importance of clean claims and billing practices and being timely and accurate with your billing practices, and I'll show how for those folks that are on the phone that are part of Central Reach, it can be done within the context of our system, because our system is set up to allow you to maintain a preparedness that you'll need as you move forward as a clinician. And then finally, we'll also talk about standardization of your practices as well. So Chris, if you could advance to the next slide as well. Before I turn it over to Chris to talk about Central Reach specifically in terms of how you can set up your systems to prepare for audits and to go through an audit rather smoothly, I do have pieces of advice for you. And the first one is to develop your own internal auditing tool. As a clinician and as a person that's functioned as a chief clinical officer for a national company with a big footprint in the United States, one of the things that I did was I developed what I refer to as a flash auditing tool. What that means is that I'm able to review a case and to do that rather quickly, but to look at what I would consider to be some of the key indicators in terms of the quality of clinical service that is being provided, and also the accuracy of the billing practices as well. So I have built out what I refer to as flash audit tools, which allows me to sample many, many cases. And that's why I call it a flash audit, is because I want to sample as many cases as I possibly can. So if I'm working for a company, for example, with 200 clients, then I want to have a penetration rate that's rather high in terms of touching those client files and doing those client reviews. And of course, I can't do that if I have something that is really comprehensive in terms of an auditing tool. So I develop what's referred to as a flash audit, which is an abbreviated auditing tool. So one of the pieces of advice that I have for you is to develop your own internal auditing tool that will allow you to do quick audits of cases. And those audits should be based on what Chris and I refer to as a balanced scorecard, meaning that you're auditing for clinical quality, but you're also auditing for your responsibilities and your checking to ensure that the billing practices are accurate and timely as well. So it's what we refer to as a balanced scorecard when we're doing an audit. Now, in addition to the flash audit, we also develop tools that are referred to as more comprehensive audit tools, and this would be a more extensive auditing process where we take a client's file, we look at the assessments that that are on file, we look at the behavior support plans that are on file, we look at the progress notes that that are on file, we look at the rate of utilization of hours. So for example, if a board certified behavior analyst has 20 hours per month of service that that they've been authorized to use, we do what's referred to as a utilization analysis to ensure that the 20 hours are being delivered. And if that board certified behavior analyst is working with the direct service provider and that person is supposed to be doing 20 hours per week, for example, and 80 hours per month, then we want to ensure full utilization of those hours as well. That is something that that an insurance company as well will look for. So the whole point here is the recommendation to develop flash audit tools, but also more comprehensive audit tools. And one of the things that Christy said at the very beginning of this call, and thank you, Christy, for doing that, is that if anybody has follow-up questions and wants more elaboration on any of these topics that we're touching on, certainly reach out to us, and we will have more extensive conversation and provide guidance and support as well. So developing your auditing tools is critical because you want to be the person that detects a problem. You don't want somebody else pointing it out to you. You definitely don't want an insurance company pointing it out to you. You definitely don't want a regional center pointing it out to you. You don't want a school system pointing it out to you. You want to be the clinician that has the vigilance and the sensitivity to be conducting your own audits, either on a flash basis or a more comprehensive basis, so you are picking up things yourself and not having them pointed out to you because the latter results in all sorts of implications. Another recommendation is to calculate the annual scope of your audits. So by way of example, once again, if I have 200 clients and I want to make sure that I'm sampling at least 30% or 40% of all cases on an annual basis, that will require you to create an auditing schedule and an auditing calendar and an auditing guide so that you're making sure that you're sampling that volume of cases on a regular basis. The greater the number of cases that you're touching and examining, the higher level your confidence is that what you're seeing is representative of the whole. And it's what we refer to as a penetration rate. You know, to what extent are you penetrating the entire base of your clients to ensure that what you're seeing is actually representative of the entire service model that that you have. So performing these internal audits is critically important. My other recommendation is that if you are being paid by multiple insurance companies, let's say Magellan and Aetna and Cigna and Kaiser Permanente or Easter Sales as a carve-out and TRICARE, you'll want to make sure that the cases that you sample are coming from each of the insurance companies. So you don't want to get too heavy by looking at cases that are attached to one insurance company. If you've got a diversity of payer sources, then you want to make sure that you're sampling cases right across the board for all of them. So those are some of the recommendations with respect to an internal auditing process. And once again, Chris and I are available for guidance offline with respect to this piece in terms of audit readiness. So Chris, over to the next slide. And Chris, I think at this juncture, I'm ready to hand the baton over to you as well in terms of looking at central reach and how it can be a system to support all of these things that we're talking about. Over to you, Chris.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Cameron. Appreciate that. And so just want to thank everyone again for joining us today. And you know, what we want to do here at this point is essentially show you some tools within Central Reach. We have a wide range of audience here on the call. Some current clients that have been using the system for a few years, and some clients that don't currently use the system. So I will, I'll try to gauge that and allow for, everyone on the call to be able to benefit from some of the different things that I'm going to show. Now, again, just to reiterate, whether you're a current client, an interested client, whether that be of Central Reach or of OBGOBI Solutions, we will be following up with everyone after the call to send over the PowerPoint presentation as well as a link to the webinar if you want to show it to any of your colleagues. And so we can then also set up individual trainings, calls with anybody who wants to discuss anything that's covered today in a little bit more detail. So just to discuss a couple of the items that Dr. Cameron mentioned as far as how our system can assist in making sure to try to first off avoid audits, and then if you do get audited, how to make it the least effort as possible, least man hours spent to get that funding source the documentation that they are looking for. So the first thing that I want to show within our system is you're going to be storing all of your authorizations for each of your clients within Central Reach. Okay, so most of the funding sources are going to give you an authorization and let you know what you can provide. What Central Reach is going to do is it's going to allow you to then specify for that specific client that only certain services can be provided. We actually take it a step further and then narrow it down to only certain staff can provide certain types of services, so that you know as billing comes in and you're sending out claims or you're putting, you know, that information onto an invoice to send to a school district, that the that you are actually sending the services or the claim information that you should be, right? So irregularities in billing is something that we mentioned can trip an audit, okay? So that's one of the ways the system is going to, from an authorization perspective, help you with your auditing situation. Along with that, we provide information on your actual utilization of those authorizations. Right. So for each of your clients, you're going to be able to, in real time, go in and see what services were authorized, making sure we're not past an authorization end date. The system is going to give you warnings and even block you from, let's say, providing outside of an authorization, providing above an authorization. So we have, so the system is going to kind of help safeguard you from that perspective. But then it's also going to give you information as far as what that client is authorized, how many of those hours you're actually working, and how much you're actually, and if you're over or you're under, right? So the system is going to just point that information out to you, right? And then at the end of an authorization or in the middle of the authorization, which is, you know, one of the things you can do during an internal audit is go in and say, okay, you know what? We've been authorized 250 hours. We've currently worked 201. We have 48 remaining. Well, the last thing that an insurance company wants to see is at the end of the authorization, you barely performed any of the hours, or vice versa, that you well overperformed those hours. Right? That's something that can trip an audit. Also, make it so that you don't get paid for those services above and beyond that authorization. Okay? So those are some of the tools that our system uses from an authorization perspective. The next major item that I want to show that is one of the biggest tools that if you do get audited, the first thing normally that they are that the funding source is going to ask for is, I'd like to see the daily notes of what the clinician did every day that you sent me a claim from this date to that date, right? And so one of the ways that you can standardize the information that you provide to them and ensure that you have that documentation is using our clinical notes feature. And so every time one of your staff member comes in, creates an actual entry, right? So they're going to come in, and in our system it's called a timesheet, right? They have here what we call a notes template, but you can call it whatever you would like. And so this, as you can see, this note pulls in the information directly from that data service, like date, start time, the service that was provided. The actual funding source may tell you what they want on each of these notes, so that's always something that we stress to our clients. You know, reach out to your case managers at the regional center or at the funding source or at the school district and ask them, hey, if you audit me, what are you going to be asking for as far as on a daily note? Right, and most of the time, they will be able to give you that information. Sometimes some insurance companies are easier than others, but if you dig deep enough, you can find out that information. Our system then allows you to, on a payer-specific basis, come in and create those notes so that every time a staff member who sees an Aetna client, well, you can have an Aetna-specific note. So when you get audited, you can provide Aetna exactly what they're looking for. Okay, and so a staff member can come in, fill out this information. They can actually, of course, use our Learn module. So if they're collecting data in real time, they can actually pull specific data in. Again, this is all customizable depending on what the company is looking for or what you would like for the staff to collect. They can also come in, of course, and put their daily narrative, right, so that you can then pull that onto a what we call an activity statement, which I'll show you here in just a second, as well as you can allow the client and the staff member to come in and sign off on, the client and the staff member come in and sign off on that. And this can be done electronically right here within the system. They don't need another, a plug-in. All they need is a device. They can sign right off on that, and it's going to pull right onto that note. And be solidified in that client's account. Okay, again, I can also get the client's signature. Once they hit save on that, we now know that we have a note because we can require that they fill the note out. We know that we have a signature so that at minimum, if I get audited, I'm going to have those two things, which are a key piece to go along with, of course, the ongoing data collection, the graphs, progress reports, as we know. Now, that leads me into our notes template can be used for more than just your day-to-day notes, right? So there I had a sample session note, which was used by my direct staff when we build 0365T. But maybe when I put in a supervision code, I want my supervision form to show up, right? And these are things that our system can automate for you. And so just to show some samples here, and the other nice thing about our notes template is they don't have to be specific to a data service. It can also be just for a progress report, which I will show here in just a second. But for example, TRICARE, they are very big on the supervision documentation. Right? So if I click on that actual note here, I can actually build this note out. Most of the time, if you have this in a Word doc, you can actually just copy and paste it right into our system. And our system is going to fill out most of the note for you, allow your staff to come in, and of course, if there's check boxes or if there's a small narrative, and they can come in and sign off on these as well. So these are additional types of notes. It can be anything from a daily note to a supervision form to a simple consent form that you may want to, or a credit card authorization form that you may want to get from the client when you first see them, right on down to an actual progress note. So we've been working with different payers out there and kind of just picking their brains as far as the type of data that they're looking for. So I just have a sample here. Again, this is just a sample. But I could take and create a progress report that may be given to me by the funding source and say, hey, here is what you should be providing us every 3, 6, 12 months, whatever the case happens to be. I can insert this into a client's account. It's going to pre-fill out a lot of my information. My staff members can go through, fill out the necessary fields that I require of them so that when they turn this in, I know that I'm going to have a progress report that is in the format that that funding source is looking for. And again, I'm now creating standards across the board so I don't have one BCBA doing something different than the next BCBA or one SLP and kind of so on and so forth. So this is going to be a huge tool that will allow you to make sure you're collecting the information that those funding sources are looking for, because that is a major aspect. When you get audited, they are going to want to make sure that you have certain standards, as well as that you have uniformity across you know, your different BCBAs or your different daily notes, and so on and so forth. Okay, so now the next item that I wanted to show, and really the last item before we wrap up, is when you do get audited, one of the big pieces, as I mentioned earlier, big pieces of information that the funding source is going to be looking for is those daily notes. And the last thing you want to do is be digging through a Dropbox folder or digging through you know, a filing cabinet to have to go in and find that information and then try to remember what exactly you billed, compare it to what's on the notes, right? So our system's going to automate that for you. And so we have what we call our activity statements. And so this is where I can go in, I can search whatever date range that the that the funding source is looking for. I can filter out by an individual client, or they may want to see multiple clients. I can do either one. Right from here, I can filter out and say, okay, give me all my entries that have notes. Okay, and right from here, I can come in and I can actually generate what we call an activity statement. An activity statement, and you can see how quickly I'm able to do this. What's nice is you can actually do this in bulk for multiple clients. So if you get audited for 10 clients all at the same time, you can print all of these here at the same time. And so you can see it's going to pull in all of your claim information for each of the dates, as well as your notes and your signatures. So I'll show that here. Once I generate this PDF, it's going to pull in what we call an activity statement with all of my notes, all of my signatures right there on this form. Okay, so very quickly, I can go in and right away reduce the man hours, because as we mentioned in the beginning, you know, it's not luck of the draw per se. You're going to get audited at some point, right? Whether it's just your term or whether the insurance company has a reason to believe that there was some type of irregularity. Okay, so when that does happen and you do get audited, you want to make sure that whatever system you're using, whether it's CentralReach or another one, that you are going to be able to quickly access the information that you need and that you're able to set it up so that it's in the format that the funding source is going to be requesting it in. All right, so Dr. Cameron, I don't know if you have any other closing items that you would like to mention. I know that you talked through most of your slides.
I do, Chris. Thank you for asking. The final piece of advice that I'd like to give people is that the auditing tools that insurance companies use, and I'm going to use Easter Sales in Southern California as a prime example, their entire auditing tool is online, and you can access it. So for any of you that are doing work for Easter Sales, for example, then you can make, you know, you can access the auditing tool. You can review it. You can use that to inform your own internal auditing system, and that goes a long way toward preparation. Also for TRICARE, TRICARE's got their own operating manual. They map out clearly what their standards are. The Behavior Analyst Certification Board, as I mentioned at the beginning, has their auditing tool for registered behavior technicians. So my final parting piece of advice is access those tools. Understand what your requirements will be when you are audited, and begin this level of preparation. And if you need support doing that, please contact me or Chris, and we're happy to work with you through that process. So thank you, Chris. And Christy, over to you at this point.
Thank you, everyone, again for attending. We will be following up with you in an email. So if you have any other questions or would you like to talk to Chris or Dr. Cameron some more, that would be a great opportunity. We'll also send you a link to the video recorded presentation. So if there's a section you'd like to review, please feel free to get back to that. And again, thanks, and have a wonderful Friday.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.